Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Bob Guinea, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio. Let's dish, baby!
Hi, I'm Jill Manganiello, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Star Dish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hi, this is Aidan Turner on Star Dish Radio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Star Dish Radio. I'm your host, Joanne Kubicek. It's been quite some time since we've been on the air, but our, I don't know how many months it's been, but it's over. We've got reason to be happy. We've got reason to be back. AMC, One Life to Live, they're back. So, hence, we're back. I stopped doing the show a while ago because it just seems like with all of the new social networking and interaction between actors and fans, some actors felt that a show like Star Dish was no longer necessary because you guys got as much personal contact with them through social networking, you know. But to me, Star Dish Radio is the way to go. There's nothing better and nothing more personal than being able to call in and talk to your favorite on the air. So we're going to start that up, and we're going to do it right, big time. We got Jill Larson coming in tonight. Jill is going to be calling in a few minutes. If she doesn't call in, I'll call her, but we're going to give her a few minutes to get settled. But in the meantime, I know my regular users and listeners will be knowing my cyber BFF, Brandon Hensley from Brandon's Buzz. He's here. Hi, Brandon.
How in the hell are you, lady?
Oh, my God. I'm so friggin' excited. I can't stand it.
It's been such a long time since we've done this together, and it's such a thrill, such a nice occasion to be back with you.
Oh, my God. I know. I was so, so excited. You know, there was so much turmoil going on with when Prospect Park kind of ditched the idea because of whatever reasons. And, you know, not that I even care to get into all that. But then, you know, we were all a little skeptical as to see if this day was even going to come.
Sure.
And
even when they announced it, I was skeptical because
they
hadn't made deals with any of the guilds. And, you know, it was all very shady when it was announced the second time. And I was saying I still don't believe it. Right up until about a week ago, I still couldn't quite get myself to believe it.
Right. I mean, I was skeptical, but then I was kind of on board when Agnes Nixon came out and said, yeah, this is what we're doing. And then you started seeing more and more actors sign on. But then you had that little cringe of like, oh, my God, I hope they're not putting these actors
right
through another thing again. Please, please, please just do it and don't, you know, mess this up.
Especially last week after that lawsuit was announced, that crazy lawsuit with ABC. It was like, oh, Jesus, here we go again.
You know, I know. I try really, really hard not to get into all that kind of nonsense because to me it's just like I don't care about the politics behind soaps. You know that. I mean, I always go to We Love Soaps or, you know, I talk to you about stuff. I don't care about stuff like that.
Yeah.
All I care about is the stories, they're on the air, and that everybody is back and happy, you know, and that's my main concern. The rest of that stuff, leave that stuff to We Love Soaps and, you know, all these other little, you know, all these other sites that deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I could care less.
Yes, and see, I live for the behind-the-scenes dirt, so that's...
Yes, I know you do. That's why I love when you call it, because I don't know nothing about it. So, you know, you want to know something behind the scenes, ask Brandon, because he knows. I could care less. Let my man school you. Because we're good like that. You know, I could talk and he can tell you the behind-the-scenes stuff. So, let's see. I got an email from Jill. And if anybody listens to this show before, they all know that Jill is kind of forgetful. So she said, you know, just if I'm not there, give me a holler. So I'll probably call her in a couple of seconds.
Okay.
I just want to see who else we have here on the line. We've got an area code 203. I'm going to bring you on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from? 203? Are you there? You're not there? Okay, they're not there. So, again, live radio. You've got to love it. Now, I think we know who this is, and this is going to be a blast for you and I. Mr. Tony Crane.
Tony.
That's right. Yes, that's right, Joanne.
How are you, Tony?
Oh, doing great. Doing fine, Brandon. How about you?
Pretty good. I got the email about half an hour ago, and I was like, yes, we're going back on the air. I was very
excited.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, Stardust is back, and I noticed with all my children, knew all my children, and what I said about you, new Stardust is going to come back eventually, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we definitely needed to do this. Definitely needed to do this. And like I said, we do it nice and big. You know, it's probably going to take some time to get the word out again. You know, we've been out of circulation for quite some time. And there are other shows circulating, Blog Talk Radio, that's doing interviews with some of the soap stars. You know, and, you know, I'm all about cross-promotion, Brandon. We always were, so much props to them.
You bet.
I think there's a Take-Two Radio out there. I haven't been able to listen to any of them, but, you know, go out and support them, especially because you're going to be listening to your favorites, and that's what we want. You know, whether it's here or there, that's what we want. But, Tony, I'm going to place you on hold. Don't go nowhere, because right now I have to bring on our girl, the most beautiful woman, Jill Larson.
Different kinds of greenery in there. So.
Hi, Jill.
Hello.
Hi, Jill.
We've been having a little difficulty getting connected.
Oh, goodness. You're here and I'm happy.
That's right, and so am I. How are you?
Jill, I am so ecstatic, and we have Brandon from Brandon's Buzz on the line with us also.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Good. How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing very well. I tell you what, you must feel like the luckiest woman in show business this week.
Well, yes, because of the show being back, you mean?
You bet. And you're front and center on it.
Oh, yeah. That's very exciting. It's true.
Listen, Jill, Brandon and I were talking a little bit before, and going back to, you know, we weren't really sure if Prospect Park was going to follow through with what they said they were going to do. We were all on pins and needles right up into the day.
Right.
You know,
well, we had sort of a false alarm or a false start,
right.
You know, back when the shows first ended. So everybody had cause to be trepidatious, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think we all felt that way. And we didn't know who they were, and we didn't really know what their long-term intentions were, you know. So so it's wonderful to see that they have come through in such a marvelous and really stylish way, if you ask me.
I'll tell you, I am so impressed with the amount of publicity that these soaps have gotten, and that is so well-deserved, and I really think that if things were different way back when and it was done this way, it would have been a different story. You guys never got the credit that you deserved, and Prospect Park is really doing it up big time for the actors and for the fans, and we have to say thank you.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Billboards, and if I'm not mistaken, Brandon, correct my behind-the-scenes guy, were they not number one on Hulu yesterday and today?
Yes, they were, and number one on iTunes, I believe, number one and two.
No kidding!
And commercials on every channel. I've seen commercials on TBS.
Mm.
I've seen commercials on the CW. I've seen commercials on about five different channels.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, they're really doing it right.
Oh, my God. Well, that's so exciting that we were number one on Hulu and iTunes.
You bet.
It's back in a big way, Jill. I'll tell you. I normally get and start my day at 5 a.m. on a daily basis just to get myself ready for my day. So when somebody was telling me, and I don't know how true this is, Brandon, again, is my behind-the-scenes guy. So they say it counts when you watch the minute it starts. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get up at 4:45. So I got up at 4:45 on Monday and got my coffee ready, and sure enough, 5 o'clock, I hit it. And that hour, because I watched the both of them back to back, went by so fast, I was late to work Monday. It took me so long to take my shower and get dressed and do all that because I was sitting there watching myself.
Oh.
And I miss that so much.
Well, and isn't it fabulous that you can just sort of weave it into your day when it's convenient for you now, rather than having to, you know, sort of schedule your whole day around it as we used to do.
You bet. And
well,
you can watch it on your phone if you want to. You can watch it on your iPad if you want to. I mean, you can take it.
Yeah.
You can literally take it with you.
Yeah, it's fantastic while you're waiting for the bus.
You don't have to be chained to a TV
exactly.
at 1 o'clock in the afternoon you know, whatever. You can have it in your pocket, literally, and pull it out and watch it in five-minute increments if you want to.
You know,
that's right.
To me, it's better than the DVR, you know, because my DVR, honest to God, would fill up, and it would end up losing more stuff than it recorded because I never had time to go back to it. With this, I can get up and I can put my laptop on, doing my day, or if I'm at work and I take my break, I can go sit with my phone and I can watch it while I'm at work on my break. I don't have to worry about being connected to my television.
That's right.
That's the most amazing thing.
You're right.
You know?
It really is. It's very exciting. And I think it's really sort of awakening the audiences to the idea and the potential of going to the internet for your entertainment, you know. And I just saw a billboard for a company yesterday that said, watch your programming without cable, you know, on your TV. And
isn't that crazy?
I thought, that's where we're going. And I'm sorry for the cable companies, but I'm sure they will adapt and find their way, you know.
You know,
You know what's wonderful is they're gonna know, you guys are gonna know exactly how many people are watching your show. They're gonna know how many people are streaming it, how many people are downloading it. You know, for years, nobody at ABC really knew how many people watched that show. I mean, they had educated guesses and whatever, but you had no way of knowing how many people were actually watching All My Children at noon every day.
And here
you're gonna know exactly how many people are streaming, downloading, whatever. You're gonna know exactly to the person.
I know. It's so exciting.
Yeah. The Nielsen ratings are so not accurate. I mean, totally accurate with all the technology we have today. So, yeah, you never knew. And I mean, even I knew that, and I'm not the behind-the-scenes guy. You know, I didn't know that much about it.
Tell me, what does that mean, the behind-the-scenes guy, Brandon?
Brandon loves the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, before you came on, we were kind of catching up because we haven't spoken a long time either. I said, you know, we were talking about some of the politics about soaps, and I said, you know, I couldn't care less about that stuff. All I care about is talking to you guys, getting you hooked up with your fans, and I don't care about the behind-the-scenes stuff. I don't care about the writers. I don't care about what they do. I don't care about none of that stuff. Brandon is the behind-the-scenes guy. He loves. He does, you know, he does the interviews with the writers.
And he wants to know how it's made. And,
I live for all that stuff.
He loves
it. Brandon is a writer also, and, you know, in his time, and he's done, you know, intros for me on this show for a really long time, and he loves all that stuff. He's interviewed, if I'm not mistaken, the writers that write for your show now. Am I right, Brandon?
Brandon?
Yes.
You've written interviewed the new writers for AMC now, haven't you?
So I've interviewed the new writers for One Life to Live. I haven't talked to the children writers yet.
Oh, okay. So yeah, he loves doing all that stuff. I don't even know what questions to ask. It's like, to me, give me my actors, give me my fans, and I'm happy. You know, if I need to know anything from behind the scenes, I talk to Brandon. Brandon's the guy with the ratings and all that other stuff. So
how long have you had your show, Joanne?
I started it, 2008.
April 1st,
2008. That's right, Brandon. And, you know, the funny thing is, Jill, I met Brandon through Star Dish. We've never met in person, but we've known each other as long as I've had this show on the air. And I was interviewing Judy Evans from Days of Our Lives, and I never watched Days of Our Lives in my lifetime, but Brandon called in because he knew who she was, and boy, he got on the air with me, and he answered all the right questions, and we've been BFFs ever since. It's just been one magical, you know, pairing through the internet.
How great. That's wonderful.
But, you know, I was, as I said this to Jill off the air, Star Dish went down after the soaps went down because my most cooperative fans and listeners were my AMC and One Life to Live fans.
Yeah.
And when and my most cooperative actors came from your shows.
Yeah.
You know, who were willing to get down and do live radio with the fans. And without the shows, it was like, I didn't have a show. So
mm-hmm.
I just kind of went, you know, underground for a long time. You know, I
yeah.
did little things here and there, but that's it. You know, nothing like this. So when, you know, I sent Jill an email and I was like, oh, my God, we have to do this. Just have to get back on the
yeah,
together.
I was delighted to hear from you again and delighted to be here today.
Oh, well, not as delighted as me, I am sure. But let me tell you. So the boy that's playing your son,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about him real quick. Because I got to get familiar with all the names here because I don't. Robert Scott Wilson.
That's right.
He is gorgeous, first
gorgeous.
Of all.
Stunningly
absolutely
gorgeous.
Isn't he? And he's a New Yorker. He hasn't done
Katie.
Any of that vocal training yet.
Katie
he
told
hasn't...
me. What?
No, go ahead, Katie.
Well, before I had met him, Katie had met him, and she came to me and she said, wait till you meet your son. He's like porn star gorgeous. Isn't that funny? But
that's
and
awesome.
He really is. He's so sweet, and he's so... He's just such a natural. He's very spontaneous and relaxed and sincere, and I just love working with him. He's just terrific.
Right. Now, I don't think I've ever, oh, my God, yeah, and I don't think I've ever really seen him in anything before. I think this is his first role, and he's from New York.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had that, what is it called, where they get, what's that training where they get rid of the accents?
Dialogue
training. Yes, dialogue training.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Denise Vancey, who is a Brooklyn girl, had that done, and you'd never know she was from Brooklyn. You know, she's, like, spot on with that. And I said, okay, he didn't do that, and I'm liking it.
That's right.
I like the New Yorker coming out in him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
true.
Loving it. So, now, his character and your character now, Petey's been gone a long time. The last time we saw Petey, he was, you know, the geek of the century, and... You know, total opposite of what this kid is.
That's right. Right. That's right. And it's kind of fun to see. I mean, I love in the opening, you know, of the show that I say Petey's coming home, and then you cut to him in the Porsche. I mean, it's just so great, and you get so much about it even just in that close up. I think that. That really sort of introduces you to the new Petey. Petey was in Europe, and he clearly got a little polish and some sophistication, and now he's come back a new man, and he's got success in business, and yeah, it's great. He's great. He got contact lenses, you know, that was good for him.
Oh, okay, well, here's a little tidbit I didn't know. Jewel, who is a big AMC fan, she's in the chat room. She said he's one of the models on The Price is Right.
That's right.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he came in for 2 weeks in February when we first started shooting, and then we had 5 weeks off, and he went back to California and worked on The Price is Right. He said,
oh,
God, save my spot.
Wow, no,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, that's how long it's been since I watched The Price is Right. I didn't know they had male models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just
did
a big
either.
Contest last year, and I think he won from out of, I don't know, a pool of thousands of entrants, I guess. He was
really?
The guy that won the contest, so yeah.
All right, that's
well,
amazing.
I'll tell you, on the very first day that we worked together, we had, oh, I don't know, 6 or 8 scenes. We were the very first scenes to be taped of the new version of All My Children. I felt that was quite an honor, and there, we were pretty nervous. You know, I was nervous, but he was probably much more nervous. excuse me, about 4 scenes in, we have this scene where he has his shirt off. I walked in and I just took one look at him. I don't know why. I wasn't expecting that he wouldn't have his shirt on, you know. And I was so kind of thrown by it. I thought, I've never been in a in the same room with a body like that that was undressed, you know. I mean, it's just really, really, or not for many years at least. And he was just so comfortable and everything. And at one point, the director shouted down on the loudspeaker. He said, "Jill, stop looking at your son like he's an item on the menu."
That's funny.
He's just, he's a delightful kid, so
I'm getting
to know him,
What has your experience been so far with the feedback from the fans? Have you been reading any of the sites?
Mostly people are just so excited to see the show again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some said they were trepidatious about that there would be too much sort of nudity and and vulgarity and cursing and so forth, and I was concerned about that myself.
Right.
I do kind of feel like I was mostly concerned about it because I didn't want our form to be disrespected or exploited in some attempt to gain a different audience and in some way dismiss the existing audience. You know, that was of great concern to me. And you know, we didn't know Prospect Park and what their intentions were and so forth. But my feeling is, at least from what I saw in the first two episodes, in the first episode of each of the shows, is that they are pushing the envelope. But I didn't see anything that I haven't seen on nighttime television.
You bet.
And I didn't hear gratuitous cursing or.
Mm-hmm.
And the storylines that I know that are coming up, you know, there's roughness in them, but it's no rougher than what our world is. It's reflecting what our world is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be nice if our world was still the same as, you know, with what seemed like such a safe world that we lived in, you know, 25 years ago. But, you know, unfortunately, that's not the case.
Right.
You know, it's so great though. You can watch these first two episodes, and I'm sure that you've seen and know more. But you know, you can see instantly the hallmarks of Agnes's vision. I mean, there's young lovers, there's star-crossed love, there's
you know
all the hallmarks of what Agnes created. Good Lord, 43 years ago
mm-hmm.
when she when the show hit the air the first time, you can still see the hallmarks. They're instantly visible and instantly recognizable, and that's that contribution is priceless, I think,
that's
to what
right.
you guys are starting here.
That's right. And that is one of the things that, to me, was the most exciting when I heard that we were actually coming back and Ginger called me to ask me if I'd be a part of it. I felt like, well, Agnes, who had been really cut out of having any voice at all, in the show, that she was going to be back made me feel like, okay, then that means that we will have a show that is telling beautiful, that is telling good and engaging and important story and doing
no
it
question.
With respect for the actor, the characters and the fans, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I do feel like that's where we're going, you know, so. So that makes me very happy. And
yeah, I agree with Brandon on that. And most of what I've seen so far was what you said about the cursing, and people were worried about that. And
yeah,
but you know, like the kids, the way they had them that's kids today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it wasn't nothing bad. And it's like you said, nothing that I haven't watched on Dallas at night.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's no different. So, I mean, I think as long as they kind of leave that where it is, it shouldn't get any flack for it, you know. I know that there were some people concerned over them aging the kids. I mean, truthfully, for me to see Bianca with a daughter who's in high school that looks like her sister is a little off-putting. I have to kind of get used to that because Eden Riegel looks so young.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she doesn't look like she can have a kid at that age.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But you know, so, I mean, that kind of stuff I think is just going to take a little getting used to for
yeah,
a long
but
time.
But everybody
fewer.
Will adjust to it. It's, you know, people used to say that about me being Tad's mother, you know, when I first was on the show.
Right.
But it, you know, you adjust as you get comfortable with the characters themselves, then you get drawn into the story, I think.
Sure.
And
you know, when you consider, I mean, it's no great secret that that All My Children was in pretty rough shape its last 3 or 4 years. And so when you consider how comparably firebombed the canvas was by the end of the run,
they almost
didn't have a choice but to almost reboot entirely and age the next generation up and you know, start fresh with, you know, the children of the characters that we came to love. I mean, they almost didn't have
a choice. That's right. And they couldn't really pick up exactly from where we left off because there was that, you know. And I think Agnes just felt so kind of, well, I don't know if ripped off is the right word, but I mean, here she had created a really great finale for All My Children, and then Prospect Park came and said, oh, no, you've got to rewrite that because we're going to continue on, and it's got to be a great cliffhanger. And so then she sort of had to, I think she almost felt like she was compromised a little bit her initial vision. To take care of, you know, the demands of Prospect Park and supposedly going right on with the show, supposedly picking up with, you know, in a seamless way.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so then when that fell apart, then I think she really felt like, God, you know, I didn't get to tell the story I wanted to tell. I got stuck sort of telling a not half-assed, but telling a compromised version of what my vision was.
Right.
And so then you can't really pick up a story like that 2 years later, I don't think, you know?
Right.
And that enables for, I think, a smoother transition because, you know, One Life had the advantage of we're working out here. They hadn't been off the air as long. Most of the actors were still around and available, well, with the exception of the situation with the General Hospital. But, you know, I think their cast was a little more cohesive than ours. And so so there was, you know, the recasting of JR and things like that, that having a five-year leap forward is a little more forgiving in that, so that the audience isn't so completely shocked by it.
Sure. Plus, it helps. I think it helps a new audience latch on without having the without having to feel like they need to be saddled with 40 years of history. I mean, the older viewers are going to be able to recognize the children of their favorite characters, but new audience members are also going to be able to come in and not feel completely lost by what's happening.
That's right. That's exactly right. So,
oh my God, I'm just so happy it's on. Are you kidding me? All right. Well, we're going to do what we do here. So we're going to bring on a listener who I'm sure you've spoke to on this show before. This is Tony from Chicago. Tony,
hi,
say hi to Jill.
Tony.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so fantastic, and I am super excited that All My Children is back.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And as it's been said repeatedly, and I love the fact that One Life put it at the end of their show with thanks to the fans, you know, because you guys really have yourselves to thank for this. It's it would not have happened. It was so interesting for me to learn that, you know, Hulu at one point did a survey and asked would viewers watch All My Children and One Life if they were on Hulu. And evidently the response was so much greater than what they were anticipating or hoping for that that's what prompted the investors to start writing checks.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And many bands, they just stepped up, many bands like me and then some others who have a band, you know, started band, whatchamacallit on Facebook, band, you know, petitions on Facebook and Twitter to get the show back on the air. I mean, it's just, I mean, we wanted it back so bad.
And you never gave up.
That's right. We never give up because we're so bad we don't give up that easy.
That's right. That's
this is true.
Thing.
The fans really wore them down good.
So did anybody watch the episode today?
Oh, of course.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I watched them both so far.
I haven't had a chance to watch today's yet, so how did it feel? It was good. It felt like the story was continuing or opening up nicely.
Yeah, we're pretty much at the main show, Bianca and Miranda. They get an interaction between those two, and it's hard to believe. And Miranda, it's grown up. It's been 5 years since we last seen Miranda. I mean, and by the way, Denise Tons, they did a great job of casting Denise Tons in her role, Bianca's daughter. I mean, she looks almost like
I know. I thought so, too. I like that girl very much, Denise. I think she's terrific.
And they got a great blend of young actors, of course, with the veterans, with you guys, with the veterans like yourselves, and all the young actors who just came in, like Robert, like Denise, and Robert Wilson, you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And Eric Nielsen, who plays AJ.
Yeah. No, they're wonderful. They're wonderful.
These stories are the stuff's really going to jump, and I'll tell you, stories are like tying in pretty well to begin with. And like you see at Starcast Rovers, and I saw with PD and Cecilia, that's going to be, I think it's going to be the hottest couple on the show.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And they are darling together, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are. Him. Yeah, Robert Wilson and Jordan Lane Price, that's play Cecilia, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's who I was thinking about. Yeah, but they're going to be the hot couple on the show.
And it just makes me so
I can see that right away from the first episode I saw with Petey and see it when they collide on the street.
Yeah.
You can see it right there.
I know. And it's lovely because they really do have nice chemistry.
Yes, they do. And I'm glad. And I'm also they addressing the going ahead 5 years into the future and people still dealing with what happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're all, some are just saying, oh, forget about it. We just move on. Like AJ say, just forget about it. I don't want to deal with it, you know? But
Which of course he would say.
But inside, he knows that he's hurting because he saw someone, he knows that somebody died.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, the story's going to progress nicely, and Tony, I know we're going to count on you to watch it all the time, and I know Jill is not going to be the last person I will have on this show, so I know you'll be calling in regularly, as always.
Oh,
well,
yes,
we hope
no doubt.
So, Tony.
No doubt. Thanks a lot,
you're welcome. Hold on a second, Tony. So, Jill, do you think that these new kids have any idea what they roped themselves into as far as the soap fans go?
I don't know. And I don't know that they, they may be just young enough so that they may not even have the same sort of awareness of what the shows are as kids who would start out on, it used to be that you'd have kids who would come on and they'd say, oh, my God, my mother and my grandmother have been watching this show for years. They're so excited for me, and I'm so thrilled to be here, and I've been watching. And I don't hear that from these young kids. It may just be that they are they're young enough so that, no, they haven't been exposed to it, really, and they were sort of part of the generation that that did not get sort of brought up the other kids did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I can only imagine what their reactions were when you first went out there and were filming. I know that there were fans that were like planted out there out in front of these studios. You know, you got to have that, that feeling, that nostalgic feeling of you coming to work and walking down the stairs or walking down the ramp, and the stairs are lined with fans waiting to take their picture with you. I mean, I don't think the studios are set up that way, the way ABC's were, where they had such direct access with you guys.
No, well, we're way out in Stamford, We're not in the city.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. So. I know that there were some fans that made a road trip out to, they made a road trip out to Stamford, and there was probably about a good 20 of them, maybe a little bit more. And they sat there and they waited for pictures, the same as they did, you know.
Oh, I wasn't there then. I didn't see or know about that. How wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, Connecticut, you know, was only a hop, skip, and a jump for them, for these fans.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can only imagine what the new kids were thinking, like, oh, my God, look at these crazy fans sitting out here on the lawn waiting to take pictures.
Oh,
but, yeah.
I love that.
Absolutely. That's, you know, these are the diehard fans that never gave up in, you know, figuring out so many different ways to get you guys back on the air with the Hoover campaign. And
I know.
It's crazy.
They brought in attorneys. I mean, they really, you know, they approached Oprah. They approached Agnes. They really, it was really heroic, you know.
Right.
That's what I was kind of referencing earlier. I suspect strongly that when the numbers start coming in for these online reboots, that you guys are going to find out that way, way, way more people were watching those shows on ABC than they ever had any idea of.
Oh, well, that will be interesting to find out and would be wonderful. And hopefully we will start to bring in some new viewers as well, you know.
Well, you
what
know,
you think
I think
about
the
that?
Fact that I think that you definitely will, but I mean, like Brandon said, the fact that you're number one on iTunes and number one on Hulu, that's just something really big. Hulu is a big operation where people go to every single day to watch stuff. And the fact that the soaps, and what's the new saying now? We're not daytime, we're anytime.
Yeah.
The fact that that's the, you know what I'm saying? That to me speaks volumes. And I'm sorry, you know, execs over there at that other place, oh, well, you lucked out.
No kidding.
Sorry.
No kidding.
So sorry.
No kidding.
But, oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if you don't appreciate it, it's like, you know, you take you don't know what you've got to what you've lost till it's gone. Or you don't know what you've got till it's gone, that old Joni Mitchell lyric, you know.
You know, I try to stay away from the spoilers because I don't want to know nothing. I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
I don't want to know nothing. I like my soaps that way. I miss the way they used to be back in the day when we didn't have any of that stuff, and I would come home from school and be, you know, just completely surprised. But I did catch a couple of things here and there that they were talking, and Brandon, you might know something about this, that they were saying something about Brian Fonz possibly coming on as a consultant. Did anybody see that?
Oh, my God. Someone else has said that to me. They said that to me the other day. Maybe Bobby Woods, when we were getting ready to do that VH1 show yesterday, said that.
Mm-hmm.
But that must just be a sick rumor.
I hope so.
I believe it is. I think that the one of the heads of Prospect Park reached out to the We Love Soaps guys and debunked that rumor because.
Oh, good.
You know, that would just be, that would just be asinine. I can't imagine any of the actors or any of the writers would actually work for the company if that were the case.
No, no.
Oh, thank God, thank God. Okay.
Yeah, no, these guys are way too smart. They're way too savvy to do something like that.
Yes, I can't have that. I can't. Okay, because that would just send everybody up into a tailspin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't do it. All right, I have another caller here from New York. Let's see who this is. Area code 917. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Is this me?
It's you, 917. Who are you?
It's Tammy Kreis.
Hi, Tammy.
Tammy Kreis.
I won't take long. I just wanted to say, Jill, I am so ecstatic you guys are back.
Aww.
And you look fantastic at the premiere.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, we're still working on my hairdo, but, you know, we'll find it. That first morning that we taped was really a little bit crazy, but.
You're doing great. I've watched both days. We've been on the phone, a couple of us at a time, at like 4:30 in the morning chatting while we're watching. And I'm like, hang on.
What are you doing up that hour? Don't you know you can watch it at 10 also?
We're too excited.
Oh, that's just so beautiful. I it's just so lovely. Oh, really? Really? God.
Actually, Tammy was one of those fans that made the trip out to Stanford, Jill.
Are you really?
Yes.
When did you go? When was it? How come I missed you?
Well, actually, Cassie came out, and some of the newer people, and Kelly, and a few others, Clint Stevens.
Oh, that was One Life. That's when One Life to Live was working.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Well, you got to come out again now that all my children is there.
Yeah, we didn't have time, or we probably would have.
Yeah.
Because it all happened so fast, and you needed to really get settled there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we didn't want to just, like, throw everything upside down and be outside when you guys are just getting your bearings back, you know?
Yeah, well, it's true, and it was huge. You know, it was really, really astounding to walk in there that first, because I went a couple of days early for costume fittings, and you walk around that place, and it was basically just an empty shell. And you realize, as the costume designer said, you know, we had to go out and buy hangers. We didn't have a rod to put anything
on.
You know what I mean? When you stop and think, we had to go buy toilet paper. So they had to do everything. And when you think of starting up a huge machine like that from
mm-hmm.
scratch, ABC, you know, if you need something, you call this department or that department. And
right.
and the machine has been, you know, up and functioning for decades. But so I think everybody was just astonished by, you know, you just don't even think about stuff like that when you take a job. Yeah, yeah.
It was so surreal. And then Jordy posted pictures, and we're all thinking, oh, look how wonderful everything looks, not realizing that you were all doing this little by little.
Yeah. Well, that's right. For instance, that's why I worked so much in the first week, is because my set was one of the first sets to be done. So they had to use my set, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then in between, while we'd be changing clothes or something, you'd hear banging and hammering, and they're busily, you know, during the break trying to get more sets built. But aren't the sets beautiful?
Gorgeous.
They are.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at the Chandler Mansion yesterday and today, and it looks exactly the same. And it's stunning.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, too.
You know, I have to say, Jill, Tammy, since, you know, the death of it and the rebirth of it in between, and Tammy, you and I haven't had a chance to really talk other than on Facebook. And I wasn't very vocal about the way things were going, but I always watched. And I have to say, Tammy and her group were pretty much the headhunters to get you guys back to where you needed to be. Tammy was the first one in line to start with Hoover. She was the first one in line to gather the group. So, you know what, Tammy, congratulations to you and your
really?
Group. And, you know, starting Facebook pages and accounts. And here, I mean, she's definitely one of the driving forces behind the saving the soaps. I mean, there's so many other people also, but I know, you know, Tammy via the show, and the fact that she's here, I have to give you so much credit for sticking to your guns and not giving up.
Yeah, we all just owe you so much gratitude.
Tammy,
I mean,
don't cry, because I don't do the cry stuff. Don't cry,
that's
Tammy.
That's okay.
No crying on soap. No crying on Stardish. Make me be like Tom Hanks here. No,
right,
no, no.
Right.
Listen, this is for you. Okay? For you and your group. That's for you. Stop
crying.
That's
right. That's right. Well, you must, I mean, do you feel the pride of such an accomplishment, I hope?
Oh, my God, I've been screaming out my windows, we did it, we're back.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm a lunatic.
You're a lunatic? Is that what you said?
I'm a lunatic.
Well, we love that lunatic, so you keep that lunatic going. And
that's
just
right.
Know, we're always watching. We might not talk a lot, but I watch everything.
Mm.
You know, I watch
you know
everything.
What you can do for me?
What do you
what?
You know what you can do for me? We
sure.
need to have somebody, maybe in Prospect Park, that can start marketing stuff, like maybe make up T-shirts with that on, you know, the All My Children picture and then the One Life to Live, and it says We Did It, or something that says All My Children and One Life Are Back. T-shirts, whatever
you
we can
what?
Do to get
I'm
it out
sure
there.
That's probably coming, because I think that they see, you know, I think now that they see, since they're number one on Hulu and iTunes, that they see that the fans and all the videos out there now, you know, there was some videos, Jewel Margolis, who's in the chat room, her and another fan, Lisa Pettit, they made a video, and we all sent in pictures and pictures of us with the actors and some signs, welcome back AMC, welcome back OLTL.
Where
and
is that video?
Getting,
I'd like to see that.
I'll post it on, somebody post it on Jill's fan page in the chat room. Jewel, post it on her page so she can see it. And they're gonna go around, and everybody's going to see it, and I think Prospect Park is going to see how much the fans mean to the actors, vice versa.
Yeah.
And you know what my big goal is, and I know one fan in the chat room, or probably more, Judy Manning, we want them to bring Super Soap Weekends back. Let's do it at friggin' the casinos out there, you know, in Connecticut. We don't care. We want it back.
Yeah, yeah, that would be fun. Well, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, once they get their bearings and once they get this thing really up and running where they're not, I mean, they're just drowning right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
But once they do, that wouldn't surprise me at all if you guys made that request that they would. Why wouldn't they be interested in doing something like that?
Absolutely.
But, Tammy, also, I'm not working this week, but when I go back in next week, I will make a point of going to the marketing people and telling them your suggestion, because I think that is a great idea. And, you know, there's no reason why, other than the fact that they may just not have the infrastructure right now to deal with taking orders and mailing and all of that stuff. But but they seem pretty savvy. They'd probably not have a problem putting that together, and that's a great idea.
Absolutely.
I was just talking to Michael today, and I told the girl, I said, well, for some reason, my video player doesn't work, and I need to watch All My Children and One Life to Live on Hulu. And she said, well, she said, those are done already. I said, oh, no, I beg your pardon. We got them back on. It's all the episodes. And
awesome.
I got her going. She was all excited. She's going to spread the word to T-Mobile reps. It's and I got to keep saying it to everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we did come out on top here, Tammy, and it was, you know, and thanks to Prospect Park, and especially thanks to the fans and people like you who stood behind and just, you know,
and
drove it home.
And just never gave up. Yeah. God.
We're not done until we get it out of the ABC's hands, and we get it back to Agnes Nixon to do what she feels she wants to do with it.
Right,
and
we
want it back on TV for those that can't do it on internet.
Yeah.
Hey, anything is possible, Tammy. Anything is possible. I want to thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And have a great night, and we're going to keep watching.
All right. Thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you, Tammy. I love you, too. Bye.
Hi.
Yeah, I'll tell you, boy, she's got the spirit of I can't even begin to tell you what. Definitely.
Yeah. Wow. That's really, really something.
Brandon has a couple of questions he wanted to ask you about.
I tell you what, Joe Larson, I'm a big fan of yours and have been for a long time, and I'll tell you that One Life to Live was my show. I started watching that show in 1988, and the first time I ever saw you was on that show as crazy Ursula Blackwell. And, you know, I've never really heard you talk about that experience much or read, you know, you talk about that experience much, and I would love to hear some stories about working with Andrea Evans and Erica Slezak and the Paul Roush experience,
man.
if you wouldn't mind talking about that experience.
No, of course. That was, I mean, you know, I had done a recurring role on As the World Turns that I was sort of doing currently when they called me in to do this. And Paul Roush was dating Louise Sorrell at the time, and that was how he happened to see me. She and I were in a summer stock production together up in the New England, you know, summer tour, the straw hat circuit. And he came to see the show, and so then when this situation came up, he called me into audition.
Wow.
And I was very excited about it because I was auditioning to play the daughter of Athol Fugard, who is a very famous South African playwright who was imprisoned more than once in South Africa during apartheid for his speaking out and his politics and his writing. And his writing was banned. And so I was, and he's a magnificent poetic writer. So I was just beside myself. And so when I got cast, of course, I was thrilled. And it was a supposedly a storyline that was just going to be for about 5 or 6 days. And we were going to die. And, you know, I don't know if you remember the story, but it all involved that my father was living in a lighthouse.
And bound in a wheelchair, yes.
That's right. That's right. And so then about 4 days in, Paul Rausch calls me into his office, and, you know, he was a very specific kind of a personality. I mean, I always liked him. He was always very kind to me, but he was eccentric, I guess is the best way to say it. And you never, I was scared of him, as a lot of people were. And, you know, he could be pretty bullish. And so he brings me in, and I sit down. He's smoking a cigar. And he's behind his desk with his feet up on the desk, and I'm just thinking, oh, my God, you know, what does this mean? And he says, well, I have some good news for you. And I said, well, what is that? He said, you're not going to die when you fall out of the lighthouse. And I didn't really even, you know, I wasn't that hip to soaps at that time, so I didn't even appreciate really what that meant, you know, in terms of the life of an actor with a job. And so, you know, my character fell out of the lighthouse.
And especially on that show, because that summer, that was the hot show in daytime.
Yeah, yeah, really. And so... you know, my character lived on to do, you know, it was just such a marvelous character because I basically killed off anyone that was, you know, going to be leaving the show. And I kept trying to kill Andrea, and it was always a curse is foiled again. You know,
yes.
I'd plant the bomb in her wedding cake, and
yes.
Somebody else would die, and I'd be so mad. So, I mean, it was really one of the most deliciously fun characters I've ever played. And I have, you know, on various occasions tried to plant the seed. I did, you know, when the show was still on, I said to, you know, during periods when Opal was being sort of overlooked or, you know, I didn't really have anything to do on the show, I'd say to Frank Valentini, I'd say, why doesn't Ursula come back, you know? Get her out of that home for the criminally insane. And he would say to me, oh, we got enough nuts running around Landview as it is, you know. But I really did. I've always, and I still hold that hope that somehow I could play that character again because I just loved it. You know?
Well, I tell you, you were responsible for one of the most exciting soap wedding receptions of all time, I think, with the exploding wedding cake.
With the wedding cake.
Yeah.
I know. And I loved it. When I was working with Judson, I can't say his last name now, but he was also he was on One Life, and he was a character in when I was in the home for the criminally insane. He was an inmate, and I had a crush on him. And they wrote this scene. I mean, they wrote such great stuff, you know, that I would just love to get my scripts and read them. And here it was, and there I am. I'm showing him my scrapbook of all of my accomplishments. Like, and here I blew up the neighbor's boat, and you know, and it was all of the, you know, all the various munitions that I had, you know, done. So it was a great, great experience, and it was because of that you know they thought to put me on all my children. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, what they're saying in the chat room is that Ursula should be Opal's altar, like Vicky and Nikki.
Oh, God. Oh, wouldn't I love that? Oh, God. That would just be a dream come true.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll let Tammy Christ know about that one.
All right, get her working on it.
She'll start that campaign going good.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Yeah, let me tell you, I am so thrilled that we were able to do this with you again, and
well,
I know that we'll be able to do it again in, you know, in the near future. And definitely looking forward to possibly setting up some stuff with your son and, you know, getting Katie back on here and Julia and all them, and I just can't wait to see where this is all going to go. It's pretty magnificent.
Well,
and I don't even know what else to say. It's just fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I just want to congratulate you for having your show back up and running. And
well, you know what? It wouldn't be here without you. So,
Yeah, and thank you, Brendan. It's been lovely chatting with both of you. And
the honor has been all mine. I can't speak for Joanne, but the honor has been all mine, I promise you.
Of course.
Oh, well, great. Great.
It always
is. Well, onward and upward, I guess, huh?
You
for all
it.
Of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
everyone,
we have much
the
to
lovely
celebrate.
Jill Larson, tune in to Hulu, iTunes. Get them episodes going. Let's keep them number one on top, right where they belong.
That's
everyone, thank
right.
you so much. 5 a.m., get your asses up. I'll be up. I'll
to
be
hell
up
with
watching
the gym.
When it comes
on. Just go to Hulu.
Hulu.com. That's right. It's all over the place. If you go to the I think it's on the One Life to Live fan page on Facebook. I didn't see it on All My Children. It gives you the list of Hulu on what you pay and all that other stuff if you have to. And from what I'm understanding, actually the episodes are up on some of these pages for, you know, on the fan pages, official fan pages for free. I saw somebody post. So get over
well,
and get watching.
I think it's free. I think it's free on Hulu.
Free on Hulu.
Yeah.
The only time you have to pay on Hulu is if you're watching it on a device, like your iPad or your phone, or then you need the Hulu Plus.
You
can purchase individual episodes on iTunes for 99 cents. So that says a lot if you're the number one on iTunes and people are buying it for 99 cents a pop.
Yeah.
You can purchase a multi-pass on iTunes for $9.99. Subscribe to Hulu Plus for $7.99 a month to stream the episodes on a mobile device or to stream episodes for free on Hulu.com. So there you go.
Yeah.
All in one basket. Let's get it going.
Terrific. All right,
Jill,
right.
Thank you so, so much,
of
and
course.
We'll talk soon.
Great. Take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
The lovely Jill Larson, everyone, and I want to say, Brandon, I am so excited that you came back on tonight with me. Oh, my God. Doesn't it feel like the beginning all over again?
Absolutely, my dear. I'm just so glad I got the email when I did and was able to clear out a little bit of time and delay dinner a little bit and call in and have some fun with a great lady. Two great ladies, truth be told.
You know, it happened so quickly. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I was so excited. So I'm glad that everyone was able to, you know, kind of get in there on the chat room and we got some questions. Got to get the word back out about Star being on the air. You know, and we've been gone for quite some time. So it's all about getting it back out and getting these people back on the air. And we've got to get more episodes of Brandon Buzz in the can, too.
Well, listen, I've got a couple of episodes that are in the can that I've been trying to get edited. I did an interview a couple weeks ago with Joan Van Ark from Dallas and Knott's Landing fame. That's going to be posting this week. And I taped something last fall with Erica Slazak that I've been holding for this premiere of the new One Life to Live. And so I'll be posting that within the next couple of weeks, and I'm very excited about that because that was a good chat. So I've been holding it for a few months just to let it coincide with the return of One Life to Live, and now that it's back, I need to get a fire lit under my ass and get it posted. So look for those coming up.
I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty awesome. I'm so excited about that. Yeah, I never got to hear that one, so this will be cool.
Yes,
ma'am. Brandon, we're back! Okay, well, enough of that. Guys, thank you all so much for tuning in and spread the word that we're back out on the air. Share the Facebook Stardish Radio page and follow at Brandon's Buzz on Twitter. He's on Twitter more than Facebook. I'm more on Facebook than Twitter. So, you know, we kind of do both. And it's just been great.
And Brandon, I will talk to you soon. And everyone, stay tuned for something new to come up. Just wait me here, and you guys will be the first to know. Tony, thank you for calling in. Tammy Price, thank you. And, you know, all you other callers that are on hold that didn't want to be picked up, thanks for calling in and listening. That's all I got to say. So how about that? Let's leave, I guess, with me being a little Bob Guinea and the rest of the crew. Peace out, guys. Have a good night.
Hey, everybody, this is Bob Guinea, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio. Let's dish, baby.
Hi, I'm Jill Manganiello, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Star Dish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hi, this is Aidan Turner on Star Dish Radio.